2020. Can't hear me? Today's forums feature candidates for Riley County Commission Districts 2 and 3, Kansas House Districts 51, 64, 66, and 67, and Kansas Senate District 22. The forums are co-sponsored by the local chapter of the American Association of University Women and the Manhattan Area of Chamber of Commerce. I am sorry, can you hear me? Okay, thank you. Sorry, we're still having a little technical difficulties. Anyway, so I would like to welcome you all to our forum. And I would like to emphasize that the League is a nonpartisan organization that neither supports nor opposes candidates for political office. The League is interested in promoting informed citizen participation in government and sponsors forums like this as a part of voter education. The forum will be conducted in three segments, and each segment begins with a two-minute opening statement by the candidates. After opening statements, I will ask at least four questions that have been prepared by the League and submitted by community members. And then the candidates will have a minute and a half to answer those questions. And the segment will close with a two-minute closing statement from each candidate. We have two timekeepers to let the candidates know how much time they have left. And the League's forums address policy issues. We ask that the candidates please direct their responses to the issues and not get into personal attacks. So we shall begin. Riley County Commission, Districts 2 and 3. I would like to introduce candidate Greg McKinley. He's a Republican for Riley County Commission District 2. And unfortunately, the Democratic candidate, Fannie Fang, had a family emergency and is unable to join us today. Candidates for Riley County Commission District 3 are Catherine Falk, Democrat, and John Matta, Republican. So we shall begin our opening statements. And Greg McKinley, I will let you go first.
Okay. As like I said, I understand Ms. Fang had an emergency. My thoughts are with her and her family. I hope everything works out. A little background information on me. I'm a lifelong Kansas resident. My wife and I celebrated our 45th anniversary this summer. We have four kids, two of whom were adopted through the Kansas foster system, and seven grandkids. I'm a K-State graduate and retired this year after 40 years as an estimator and project manager for commercial contractors. In this role, I managed multiple projects, various sizes up to multi-million dollar projects, coordinating work with subcontractors, suppliers, our own workforce to successfully complete projects with the owners. Previously, I lived in Manhattan for 19 years. In the last 14 years, I've lived in Riley. While living in Riley, my wife and I also had a small business for 4 years, so I understand the struggles small businesses go through. I've been on Riley City Council for 10 years. For the last 6 years, I've been president of the council. I've learned how to establish and work under municipal budget, learned that dealing with municipal budgets is different than business budgets. They're made 6 months in advance with very little room to adjust when conditions change. And Riley, our primary duties were to keep the basic city operations running. However, on the council, we've worked to improve the city. In addition to other projects, a new city hall building was built. The Dollar General came to town. And this fall, Clay County Medical opened a doctor's office in town. I realized early last year that we needed new representation on Riley County Commission. And I started discussing running for the office with others in the district and had a good response. So in March, I filed my papers to become a candidate.
Thank you, Greg. Catherine Falk, it is your turn to give your 2 minute opening address. Unmute yourself, Catherine, please.
Okay, you pronounced my last name Folky.
All right. Oh, Pokey, I am so sorry. Thank you very much.
All right. I'm Catherine Pokey, and I'm running to be your county commissioner in the 3rd District. And I would like to take this time together to introduce myself. I was born and raised in rural Northwest Kansas to a family of farmers and ranchers. And I learned at an early age to be honest, hardworking, trustworthy, self-reliant, and to always be concerned for and take care of my neighbors. These values, in addition to a strong faith, have been the guiding force in my life. The first of my family to attend college, I graduated from K-State and began the journey of my career. I've worked in the design and construction industry for over 35 years. My daughter and I moved back to Manhattan in the year 2000. I worked with a custom builder, after which I established my own business, a kitchen and bath design remodeling firm with a showroom in downtown Manhattan. Currently, I work out of my home office on a referral basis. As an experienced and accomplished businesswoman, I understand budgets, contracts, organization of priorities, and I get projects done. The wants and needs of my clients, including their budgets, have always been my top priority. Open communication and dialogue are critical for business and leadership success. As an effective leader, one has to be willing to accept responsibility for their actions and to be able to listen and have those difficult conversations with compassion and empathy. She needs to be proactive in creating and problem solving, facing challenging situations, and in navigating change. We will face uncertain financial times due to the pandemic, and our commissioners need to be candid, forthright, and fiscally responsible with our tax dollars. Together we will move forward with the highest integrity and honesty as we move forward. I look forward to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. And John Matta.
Hi, I'm John Matta, Republican candidate for the 3rd District. I'm a 22-year Riley County resident, married to my wife, Karen, 36 years this month. I have 2 daughters, Tori and Jody. I retired a year ago as Vice President of Logistics for Foot Locker. I'm a former Manhattan City Commissioner and Mayor and former Chair of the Riley County Law Board. My main 3 reasons for running are, 1, affordability. I have 35 years of experience driving efficiencies, lowering costs, and improving services. I believe I can keep the county's taxes and fees in check, or at least at the level of inflation. Secondly, economic development, both regionally and in particular rural economic development. Even before COVID, there were issues such as flattening sales tax revenue, rental vacancy rates rising, K-State enrollment down. Now with COVID, it's even worse. I plan to get a rural economic development advisory board set up for the county and to implement a comprehensive development plan. 3rd, regional local government cooperation. I believe to really achieve the other 2 initiatives, we need to combine forces whenever possible and to eliminate duplication and share resources and work in concert on regional promotional efforts. I bring to the table the experience needed. I have managed budgets far larger than the county's budget and manage staffs multiple times the size of the county. I know what it's like to manage a large organization through others. I've had to and know how to make tough decisions. In addition, I have the government experience. My statement would not be complete without mentioning COVID. As a member of the Board of Health, I will take into account all health factors and do my best to balance the consequences of the decisions. Economic devastation, mental health issues, rising addiction, postponement of cardiovascular and cancer screenings, as well as falling behind on childhood immunizations, there's a lot to take into consideration. Lastly, I ask for your vote. However and whenever you cast it, as long as it's by November 3rd.
Okay, thank you very much. Catherine, I'm Catherine Pokey. I'm going to let you start with the first question, which is, in many communities, emergency medical services provide preventative health care to help reduce unnecessary and costly trips to the emergency room, to connect patients with their providers, and to help the vulnerable with their unmet needs. Riley County EMS is a member of the Flint Hills Community Care Team, which has already demonstrated positive outcomes. Would you support Riley County EMS taking the next step toward operating in a mobile integrated health role? Why or why not?
Well, I would support them moving forward with this. It's a really good service to take to all of our community, especially into the North County where the services are lacking. A lot of the A lot of the complaints from the North County is because of the EMS lack of time to get there. There is now the Clay Center, the health center that has set up the clinic in Raleigh. And I think that's very important. I haven't heard any reports on how that's doing, but I know the lady that is the nurse practitioner there, and I'm sure that she's working very effectively in getting services to people. But the EMS does need to be have a quicker response into the county and to all residents.
Thank you very much. Greg McKinley, would you like to answer that question, please? And I can repeat it if you would like me to, or part of it.
No, that's fine. I think I caught a lot of it. If there's a system like that, that the EMS can work more closely with people, like I said, especially outside of the Manhattan area to help them, I think it'd be a great service. I'm not familiar with the program. I don't know what all the details are, but it sounds like it's something that would definitely help the community. And I would support that.
Wonderful. John Mata.
Yes, I agree with the other two. I think it's a good thing to support. I think heading towards preventative care is one of the things that we need to do and not wait till those emergencies happen. Also, we have a lot of older individuals out into the county areas if we could get it out there. I think that clinic up in Raleigh is going to be a big help. Greg's done a great job working with the city and getting that going. But this would be even, better to be able to take it out to more expanded areas. I think one of the things we want to look at, obviously, is the cost. Maybe there's some grant money that we could get to work it out. Also, look at others who have done it, and maybe we can get cooperative agreements too in order to do that, because that's one of the things we really don't have with EMS right now. And the other thing with EMS, we really need to address that station over on Claflin, and it's one of the things we need to work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg McKinley, I'm going to let you answer this next question first. The economic impact of the pandemic is expected to be huge. With shrinking resources, what are your priorities and funding strategies for expenditures?
I know the county this year, because they've already set the budget for next year, and they did try to make adjustments, expecting the lesser incomes coming in. And one of the things, they froze salaries, and the commissioners took a pay cut for this next year. And the county does have reserves. It looks like sales tax money is coming back. The one concern I think they have is property taxes, whether people will be paying. So far, they haven't had a problem. We just have to make adjustments as for whatever happens with the income part of it. Like I say, right now, it looks like they should be covered, and the county does have reserves to cover emergencies like that. So I think we'd be in good shape.
Okay, thank you. John Mata.
I think the first thing is the challenge is to keep the costs down. I don't think anyone's going to be able to afford a tax increase. Greg did mention the reserves. That's nice, but I mean, we also have to look at where we could cut costs to make sure that we don't put extra financial burden. The other thing is, with the money coming into the county, the Spark and those other funds, we need to make sure we really prioritize those well and get the best bang for our buck. The other thing I mentioned in my opening statement is the rural economic development. I think we need to look at it long-term. It's going to take us a ways to, get out of this thing. And we need to work. I've already talked to a number of people in town, very excited about getting some initiatives going. There's a lot of resources out there for rural economic development. Even before the whole COVID thing hits, there's a number of them. We need to make sure we're taking advantage of them and letting our people know of all the resources that are out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine Fokey. Oh, make sure you unmute yourself, please.
Did that. I'm sorry. One of the things I've heard the most from constituents that I've met is that they're really concerned about the economics going forward with this pandemic. The biggest thing is tax dollars. They don't want their taxes to go up. They think they're too high. I've heard people say that their property taxes are higher than their family in California's homes are. And that's really a concern to me. With the county does have reserves. The goal is $3.5 million, and there's about $2.9 million in the reserve. I understand that they spent some of those dollars for the new shooting gallery. That doesn't do a whole lot for our economic development in the county. But I think that I've been a small business owner. I understand how difficult it is to maintain a business, and especially during the economic crisis that we are facing. I would really want to look at numbers next year before we get into our budget discussions, and really look carefully on where we can cut, where we can economize, where we can do economies of scale and make things run smoother and less expensive in the county so that we can keep from increasing any taxes in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, we will start with John Mata. Is there a problem with systemic racism in Riley County? If so, in what ways should the commission address the effects? And if not, what safeguards do we need to assure that all our citizens are treated fairly?
Yeah, I think when you use this term systemic racism, it means that you're basically, that's your core. You're racist at your core. You're fundamentally that way, which I don't think that's our community. However, do we have issues? Sure, we have issues. I've had people who've told me about them. And there's certain things that people don't even realize they're doing that have a bias, or they don't understand the cultures of other people. I think in the county, the thing we need to do, first of all, is listen and give a forum where people can come down and talk, be those town halls, and then take action on those items. Also, when it gets into regard to hiring practices, to make sure we're following the best hiring practices, make sure the police department is treating people fairly. One of the groups I've been involved with is the disabilities group. They do a lot of similar training as the race bias training, because there's a lot of bias against individuals with disabilities as well. And I've led efforts in that regard, as well as just efforts in my company with regards to making sure you're treating people with respect and realize some of those unconscious biases that you may have. The key will be taking action, will be listening, leading those efforts, and getting programs in place, because it's good to listen, but you also then have to come up with a plan and a program and make sure it happens.
Thank you. Catherine Foki.
Let me unmute it.
You're good.
We're unmuted. Thank you. In our last forum, we talked about systemic racism, and I know there is systemic racism, but when you talk systemic anything, it refers to what is ingrained in our institutions in addition to our minds. As a woman, I've faced all sorts of discrimination, but I can never understand totally what it's like to be discriminated against because of my color. I believe the changes are needed in the county to be more inclusive of minorities. Every year, thousands of students and military personnel move here, and that support our economy, and they provide a real capable workforce. We need to create a healthy and welcoming community environment for quality of life and for all the people that come into our community and the ones that are already here. I've heard a lot of stories about racism and inequalities. I would really work to bring diverse groups together and discuss what the problems are and work together to try to solve some of these issues and work towards systemic equality. That would be the thing that I would be working towards in our county and in our entire community.
Thank you. Greg McKinley.
I'm sorry. As John said, I don't know, systemic, different people define it, I think, differently. This systemic, I don't think it's a part of how we are. Are there problems? Sure, nobody's perfect. There can be things, there's always things we can do more to make sure that everybody has an equal opportunity within the community, in the county. Like I said, one of the things, when their job openings come in the county, we need to make sure they're open to every, make sure they're advertised widely so that people, all people know about it. The other thing, advisory boards, there's, I don't know, 15 or 20 advisory boards that the county has. They don't really advertise. They've got one little sheet on the on a web page that shows it. I think they should be, there should be advertisements showing the different things that are going on in the county that people can get in and to get more people involved with the county through that. Because I've heard people say they didn't even know there were any advisory boards. And I think they can open them up more. It's just kind of the same people, I guess, have stayed through them. And I think that would help open up to everything. Open.
Thank you very much, Greg. Okay, Catherine, I'm going to start with you on the next question. Riley County has one of the highest childhood poverty and food insecurity rates in the state. That impacts finding affordable housing, childcare resources, and securing a living wage for full-time workers. How should the commission address those needs?
That is a real problem in our community. You know, like you said, Riley County has one of the highest poverty rates in the state. And that is really disturbing to a lot of people that don't realize how many food insecure children we have in our schools. There are a lot of children that come to school without breakfast, and that will be the only place to have another meal of the day. There are a lot of groups in our community that deal with this. I'm involved with the Common Table, which provides a nightly meal every night of the week down in the core area our city. And I've met some incredible people and people that are living on the edge, homeless people, and a lot of children that are undernourished and have no place to live. So it is a real problem. I would really work toward doing more work within the county to bring people together and develop some more programs to feed and to take care of a lot of the other children and people in our community that are having problems. Getting a good job is a big one. And I think that there are a lot of things that the county could do to stimulate new job creations, new businesses that could come and locate to the county that would provide good living wages to a lot of our people to bring them up out of poverty. And that's always been the goal of anti-poverty people businesses and people that work with it all the time.
Thank you. Greg McKinley.
Yeah, like I said, obviously poverty and food insecurity is a problem. The as far as what the county do, one thing, keeping our taxes low to make help, which helps affordable housing. As Catherine mentioned, trying to economic development to try to bring in well-paying jobs to make sure everyone has, you know, has well-paying jobs. Food insecurity. And I know the schools do a good job during the year. There's programs for breakfast and lunch, and I know there's been programs set up through working through the summers to help do those. I know they've got one. They started one last year here in Riley, even a couple of days a week having lunch, and then today this summer with all the COVID stuff, the schools kept out. We're giving out food all through the summer too. As far as other specific programs, I don't know. I mean, that's obviously something we have to take care of. We have to take care of all the people in the county.
Thank you, John Mata.
Like the other candidates, I think the county should facilitate with groups that are helping those in poverty and seeing what we can do as well. But the long-term answer is the economic growth. I was walking door to day the other day out in Keats and was talking to a gentleman, and he was saying how our cost of living is high, but the wages don't match the cost of living. And he actually works for the Carpenters Union, and they use a scale for Manhattan, that's like Topeka, not Kansas City, because they say you're not Kansas City, you don't need that wage. But actually, our cost of living is a lot higher than parts of Kansas City. So part of that EcoDevo program I want to do for rural development is really to survey the county and find out what things we are lacking in order to get businesses out there. One that comes to mind like is broadband, which is one of the things that we really need to work on and get out there, because that'll allow a lot more workers and companies to want to be out in the county areas. Also, you know, some program I've talked to some of the city commission they've been thinking about is we do stuff like abatements for companies that come in, but for people to remodel houses, that raises the value and raises taxes. Maybe we can come up with a program as an incentive where if you do that remodel, we keep the taxes at that base rate, at least for a certain amount of time, sort of help with that, you know, affordable housing. Thank you.
And for our last question, Greg, I will start with you. As a county commissioner, how will you work to promote a positive climate for public input, collaborative efforts, and inclusive practices so that all members of the community feel represented by you?
One of the things, as you know, the county has been broadcasting their meetings, but there needs to be systems set up where people can call in, or not call in, but online or some way address issues through that way too. Other ways, I think not necessarily moving all the meetings, but maybe once or every month or every other month have an evening meeting, especially when big issues come up, like the ones that came up this year, the purchase of the church next door, some things like that, that a lot of people are, you know, interested in, have evening meetings. So the people, you know, there's more public input. They're able to come to those meetings easier. And then kept things, one thing, if I'm in office, I plan on keeping office hours during the week. I'll have them published for people. I'll try to do different times of the day, different days of the week, so people can try to come in and talk to me. And, you know, I've had good luck. People seem to be open to talking to me. I've had people, my number's been out there. People call me up already asking questions about the county, and I'm open to talk to anyone.
Thank you. John Mata.
I agree with everything that Greg said. We've been actually asked this question a lot, and a lot of us are, you know, in agreement with the things of being down at the county offices and being available to people. It's Greg said, actually going out and talking to people. When I was on the city commission, I often, if someone would just call me up, I would just go meet with them. I'd take a look at whatever the issue was. And I plan on doing the same thing in the county commission. And the fact that I'm retired now actually gives me more time to do that. I think the new public relations person that the county has got, I mean, we need to really make that a long-term thing and figure it into the overall organization, because social media is such a big thing nowadays, and make sure that everyone knows what the county is doing. That's the one thing in walking door to door I hear a lot is, well, what are they doing down at the county? So I think we need to make a good way to get that information out there. What Greg mentioned before also about the advisory boards is making sure that we get out there and get as many applicants as possible, because people don't know that they exist or don't know when they come up or how they can get on them. And I think that's going to get more of the input in there. I think, unfortunately, sometimes before, when people came to the county commission, they may have given comments, but because it was a business meeting, they gave the comment, never gave any feedback. I think it's incumbent upon us, if we do have people come down to meetings or hold town halls, we actually give them some feedback on what they say. And maybe we're not going to take action, but at least let them know that and let them know why.
Thank you. Catherine Foki.
Yes, one of the reasons that I ran for this position is because of the way the county commissioners conduct their business in meetings and in person. One of the things I found out one day, I was calling my county commissioner, I was interested in an issue, and I found out that they had no office hours. They hadn't had office hours for like 20 years. And so one of the first things I'm going to do is set office hours. You know, be available, have town halls. I want to continue going out to meet people. I've learned so much going door to door, meeting people and talking to people, getting ideas from them. I always say, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that? Rather than me telling them, you know, this is what's going on. And one of the bigger problems in the commission meetings themselves is that there is a lot of dead space in the meetings. That's the time between when the agenda item is discussed, which maybe takes 5 minutes, and they've allocated 15 minutes. So you've got that dead space of like another 10 minutes in there where the commissioners just sit around and shoot the bull or whatever, and or get up and get coffee or whatever they do, this needs to stop. And that could be handled by having a cameraman online and watching what's going on, stopping that time period so people at home watching don't sit and get distracted and miss out on most of the meetings. That's happened to me at home. So I plan to do that and also move meetings to other areas in the county and the K-State. So.
Thank you. Those were all of our questions. So now it's time for closing statements. And continuing the rotation, I will start with John Mata first.
Okay. Again, I went through things at the beginning about my three priorities and my experience. I think the thing I want to emphasize is that experience. It's one thing to say that you understand how to work a large budget. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to have hundreds or thousands of people working for you. It's another thing to do it. It's also one of the things that you realize you have to do it through other people. And that's the experience that I have. Also being on the city commission, I know how that operation works. And one of the things I want to get done is a higher level of cooperation between Riley County and Manhattan, as well as Riley County and Pottawatomie County and Geary County. Because I really think long-term, we have to see where we can get rid of that duplication. If we're going to get those efficiencies, if we're going to keep taxes down, we can't have everyone doing their own thing. I'm not for consolidated government, but is there functions? Is there facilities? Is there agreements we can make so that everyone can benefit from the situation? And as I mentioned before, the economic development programs, I've talked to a number of people that are very knowledgeable in town. They're very excited about getting something like that going on the county level, which really hasn't been, you know, pushed to a great extent before. Again, thank all of you for coming. I want to give my, you know, best to Fannie. And it's unfortunate she couldn't be with us today because she's worked really hard on her campaign. And everyone remember to get out and vote. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Catherine Foki.
Yes, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters and K-Man Radio for sponsoring this forum. And I would especially like to thank listeners for taking their time this Sunday afternoon, and especially with the delays that have happened here, taking their time to be involved in local elections. Local leadership is so important to all of us, especially in this time of uncertainty and disruption in our daily lives. Your elected representatives should be approachable and willing to discuss the things that really matter to all of us. For many years, I've raised my daughter, run a business, which, by the way, is very different than running a corporation, and I've been your neighbor, working in the community to help this make a better place to live in for everyone. And during my time here, there's not been one county commissioner who has personally reached out to me or come to my door to get my opinion or ideas. So it's been apparent to me that communication and transparency is not important to our elected county leadership. This needs to change. That is why I'm running to be your county commissioner. In the past several months, I've talked to over 1,500 voters at their doors and plan to meet many more before the election day. Reaching out to independents, Democrats, and Republicans has given me a really broad perspective on how people view the current commission. And it's not a pretty picture. From not having any idea on what's going on, to embarrassment, to wanting more integrity and transparency, everyone wants a change in the direction of our local government. When you put your trust in me as your new county commissioner, I'm committed to having open and respectful discussions, to be available, transparent, and accountable for my actions. I will undertake changes in the meeting structure that so more people can participate, and I ask for your guidance and input on these and other important issues. I believe with all my heart that we need to focus on the future, not going back to the past, and that is where there's hope and change. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Greg McKinley.
I also want to thank the League for allowing us to have this forum to discuss, to talk to people. I've been encouraged by a number of people who've contacted me to support my campaign since I started. Since deciding to run last year, I've been reviewing the minutes of each meeting from last year through this year. Started attending meetings earlier in the year. Obviously, they were stopped. Since the restrictions were lifted, I've been attending most of the meetings in person. like being there in person gives a good feel, better feel for how the meeting, for the meeting and how it runs. And through this process, I'm learning who the department heads are, what their functions are, which departments have covered different areas of the county. By doing this, I'm hoping to have a better understanding of the whole process and be better prepared to jump into the job next year. Won't even wait till next year. If I'm elected, I'm going to start trying to meet with county, some of the department heads before then, just start familiarizing myself with the county, how it runs. I've lived in Manhattan and North County, and they each face different challenges, but they all pay taxes and deserve to have their needs addressed. The business side of a commissioner's job is important, but so is connecting with the county residents. I want to hear everyone's concerns on the issues. We may not always agree, but I welcome a civil discussion. And I'd appreciate your vote, either advance voting, mail-in, or on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to all the Riley County Commission candidates, Greg McKinley, John Mata, and Catherine Foki, for answering our questions and sharing their views. We will now take a short break for station identification and to set up for the next segment featuring candidates for Kansas House Districts 51, 64, 66, and 67.